day that you have made, delights to give you praise, and so do I. So as the sunlight meets open fields and city streets, my song will rise. So wake me up.
Hi there, this is Brayden and Tally Waller, the voice of my beloved podcast, and we are studying the Hallel Psalms, and we've gotten to Psalm 115, and we went through half of the psalm last week, so here we're going to continue through the second half and see what kind of nuggets we're going to discover this week. Brayden, you want to start us off here?
Yes. So we're excited to jump back into Psalm 115. And we're going to look at some of the themes of this psalm. And just to go ahead and bring out what some of those themes are, we've got trust, God remembering, what it means for God to remember you, the fear of the Lord, dominion. And then we're going to finish up with some thoughts on the next life, which is what the end of the psalm dives into a little bit. Mm-hmm. So jumping in here, verse 9, in the middle of the psalm, it says, O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. So we see three times repeated here that God is the help and the shield of those that trust in him. And so that brings out a point here that trusting in God is really related to the shielding that he provides to us, mm-hmm. and the help that he provides to us. And so it gives us a good insight into really what builds trust in relationships. It's when we shield each other. Mm-hmm. It's when we help each other that builds trust in our relationships. I believe this is something that God is showing us, that this is what he does. This is the way he builds trust with us, is that he shields us from the enemy, mm-hmm. and he helps us throughout our lives. And so we need to model that in our relationships. And it's a call for all of us to grow in that. What does it mean to help someone, to be helpful? I think establishing a attitude and a spirit of goodwill towards our spiritual family is something I really want to encourage and see grow within the body of Messiah, mm-hmm. To help each other, to have a spirit of helping one another, mm-hmm. And of shielding one another. I think right. that goes into how we speak about each other, how we relate to each other. Mm-hmm. But this is one of the reasons why Israel is called, why Aaron is called, why those who fear the Lord are called to trust in the Lord, because he is their help and their shield.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you look back at history and you see so many of the battles and the religious wars that took place over the centuries. Why was that? Because we weren't shielding each other, right? Mm-hmm. We were working against each other instead of for each other. So how important, it seems like this is something that we really need to get as we draw closer to the time of Yeshua's return, mm-hmm. that we'll have to learn this thing. How are we going to shield each other? Mm-hmm. And I love the testimonies from the Chinese brothers that we have over there, because you know they understand this concept so much, you know, mm-hmm. Understanding what a brother is, what a sister is, and the importance of shielding, you know, of standing up for your brother and standing up for your sister. And you know, let's not get caught up on this place for that, you know, but the mm-hmm. theological stuff doesn't mean as much, you know. It's when it all comes down to it, seems like, you know, there's this matter of the heart, and yeah. seems like Yeshua really was pointing that out so much too. You know, it's like, the Pharisaic ways was, you know, arguing about theology and, you know, all these religious kind of things. And he's like, well, what's the heart, you know? Uh-huh. And I feel like that's a big part of it, you know, mm-hmm. just learning to shield your brother and how yeah. to be there for them. However, I just wanted to point out, you know, just the importance of putting our trust in God and not in man, right? Because mm-hmm. that's pointed out several times in the Bible as well, that even though we're going to strive to be more and more like our Creator, and being that shield, mm-hmm. you know, it's often repeated, don't put your trust in people because there's an imperfection there, obviously. Mm-hmm. You know, put your trust in God.
Right. I'm thinking of Jeremiah 17, where it says, cursed is the man who trusts in man.
Mm-hmm.
And then it contrasts that with blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we have to be careful because man will end up disappointing us a lot of times.
Yep.
So trusting in God is important.
Yeah, which is, you know, referring right back to what we talked about last week, mm-hmm. idols, right?
Uh-huh.
And if you're putting trust in these idols or these things that you've set up in your life, mm-hmm. they're going to disappoint you every time, right?
So then looking at Psalm 125, it says, those who trust in the Lord, just building on this theme of trust, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. So what a comforting promise as we put our trust in God. And as the psalmist calling us, Israel, trust in the Lord. If you're out there today and you fear the Lord, this psalmist calling you, trust in the Lord. And this in Psalm 125, it's saying, when you do that, when you put your trust in God, you're immovable. You're like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved. What a strong place to be. What a comforting place to be in the midst of all the happenstances, all the shifting and shakings of life that happen. But when we trust in God, we're in this immovable place. Mm-hmm. And we need to stay there. Mm-hmm. Moving on, verse 12. The Lord has remembered us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. So this idea of God remembering us is an interesting theme throughout the Bible. Let's look at a few cases of this. In Genesis 8, verse 1, it says, then God remembered Noah. And it's almost like, you know, you ask yourself, well, did he forget him? Did God forget Noah? You know, I don't think he forgot him, but he remembered him. It's almost like in most of the cases in the Bible where God remembers someone, it's like he remembers their good deed. Or he remembers their faithfulness to him. And all of a sudden it like comes before him in the heavenly court. I don't really know what it looks like exactly, but somehow it comes before him. He remembers a person, mm-hmm. then he blesses them.
Well, it seems like there's an action too that's connected with it. You know, mm-hmm. when he says he remembers, mm-hmm. a lot of times it's like, oh, that's when he intercedes for them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I think of like even in my own life, that there's all kinds of people that run through my head and stuff like that. And I remember people often, uh-huh. but like, unless I actually, you know, shoot them a message or like say, hey, I'm remembering you right now. I'm praying for you or whatever. You know, it's like it means so much more when there's an action attached to the remembering, you know.
Yeah. So in this case with Noah, God remembers Noah. And then this is when the winds come and pass over the earth and the waters subside of the flood. So God remembers Noah and he blesses him to come off the ark. And then again, we have in Genesis 19:29, God remembers Abraham, and he sends Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot had dwelt. So God remembers Abraham's intercession, his prayer for Sodom, and he delivers Lot. So here again, we see a positive application where God remembers someone. Mm-hmm. And then we see again with Rachel in Genesis 30:22, it says, then God remembered Rachel, and God listened to her and opened her womb. So this is another case of God remembering someone and him blessing them. And then this is an interesting instance of remembering in Numbers 10:9. It says, when you go to war in your land against the enemy who oppresses you, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets, and you will be remembered before the Lord your God, and you will be saved from your enemies. So somehow that sound of the trumpet causes mm-hmm. God to remember the army that's going forth. Mm-hmm. Then again in Acts 10:30, we have a New Testament reference to this. This is about Cornelius. It says, so Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house. And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms or your giving are remembered in the sight of God. So evidently Cornelius had lived a life of giving and prayer, but there came a moment when those prayers and that giving was remembered before God.
Mm-hmm.
And we could look at different instances in the Bible where it seems like there's a suddenly moment that happens, mm-hmm. where there's a life of faithfulness that is lived, and then God remembers that person. He's like, the prayers come up like incense almost. It's like God receives that gift of worship of even a period of years maybe.
Mm-hmm.
God remembers that person. He steps in and he does something really dramatic in their lives.
Yeah, I know as humans that can be something because we live kind of in the now. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like we want that, you know, it's hard to keep on sowing into something and feel like you're not getting anything. But God, you know, he promises, you know, mm-hmm. that as we are faithful, that he will act, you know, he will remember all the acts of our faithfulness and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I just like, I love the whole picture of God remembering in us. And I think it's one of those things that we have to tell ourselves, you know, that you are remembered, you know, because I think the feeling of being forgotten is such a strong feeling.
And the feeling of rejection.
Yeah, that feeling of rejection, I'm forgotten, no one remembers me, it's one of those feelings that as humans, because we live in this fallen world with, you know, and there's times where, you know, we feel that and just how hard it is, you know, to feel that from the humans that we surround, you know, that we're surrounded by, but to know that even if every human being forgets us, mm-hmm. that we are still remembered before God is like such a huge, you know, such a huge reality, like such a huge truth that we need to know deep within ourselves, you know.
Yes, yes. So whoever you are out there listening, just know that God remembers you. He remembers your acts of faithfulness. He remembers your prayers, your giving. It's not going to unnotice him. I think of the song, we heard this song recently. It goes, I am not forgotten, I am not forgotten, I am not forgotten, God knows my name.
Oh, that's a good song.
And so you can just declare that, you're not forgotten, God knows your name.
Yeah.
And that's a powerful thing.
Yeah.
When you realize that God knows your name, mm-hmm. he knows you, he's not forgotten you, he remembers you.
Mm-hmm. It's a good song to dance to.
Yeah. So then moving along, we're in verse 13 here. It says, he will bless those who fear the Lord, both small and great. So here we see encouragement that no matter what status we're in, you know, whether we're a popular person, unpopular, whatever it is, but as long as we fear the Lord, then there's a blessing that comes with that. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both small and great. So be encouraged. It doesn't matter what our status is. It just, our responsibility is to fear God. Mm-hmm. And in Psalm 128, we see this along the same lines. It says, the first verse, Psalm 128, it says, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. So everyone who fears the Lord is blessed. There's no exceptions. I've enjoyed this analogy to the fear of the Lord. And just to share this with you, it's kind of like driving. So driving gives an illustration of the way that love for God and the fear of the Lord work together. So the gas pedal in a car keeps you going. It moves you forward. So like you want to accelerate, you push that gas pedal, and that's the love of God in your life. Like that keeps you going. You're sustained by the love of God. Mm-hmm. And this is like the love of God that enlivens our hearts and keeps us moving along life's road. Love is a big motivator. Just ask anyone who has fallen in love. You know, I can remember when I fell in love with Tally, I was like, man, this is a strong emotion. Never experienced anything like this, you know, on a human level. I experienced the love of God, but to actually fall in love with a person, that was just something totally new to me. And I can just remember, actually, I remember coming back home from the trip up to Pennsylvania after visiting Tally's family, and I began to touch that falling in love feeling. And I can remember just laughing, just realizing, I remember just falling on the floor laughing, just kind of overtaken by this feeling of like, this is an overwhelming feeling of falling in love with somebody.
That was after you were running up and down my driveway.
Yeah, right. But love is a very powerful motivator. When we tap into that, it's interesting, even the Marines, I was talking to some guys and they were saying that they were reading these books about the Marines. And these are the, you know, the toughest fighters out there in the American Army. And they said that they've identified the core motivator in the human heart, and that is love. And so you'd think, you know, these tough guys, that they wouldn't be speaking that kind of language, but they've realized that. These trainers have realized that love is the strongest motivator in the human heart. And so they tell their guys, okay, whenever you come to a hard decision, we want love to be this first thing that comes to your mind, because they realize that's what's going to motivate them the most, mm-hmm. to love one another, to have each other's backs right. as they're going into battle.
Mm-hmm. Which that's, you know, those are the big two commands, you know, right. love God, love your brothers, right. you know.
So back to our analogy. So the gas pedal is the love of God. When you push on that, you know, and there's different ways you can just nurture that in your life. It's prayer, you know, seeking God, asking him to just enlarge your heart with his love. But that's, you know, pushing that gas pedal and accelerating and moving you forward in your journey with God and in equipping you to then love others around you. So then also in the car, you've got the brake pedal. And the brake pedal is whenever you're tempted to veer off the road. You know, this analogy is helpful for me. The brake pedal, you hit the brake pedal whenever you maybe look over to the side and you're tempted by something that's not of God's will. Mm-hmm. That's when you hit the brake pedal.
Caution. Slow
yeah.
down.
Yeah.
Right?
And so that's the fear of the Lord. And we see that even in the scriptures where it says the fear of the Lord is to depart from evil. So when we have the fear of the Lord, it's helping us to depart from evil. We need both the love of God and the fear of the Lord. Can you imagine driving a car without a brake pedal? It'd be very dangerous. Mm-hmm. You know, if you just have the gas pedal, then you're a very dangerous driver. But we need both. We need the fear of the Lord that's keeping us from just going off into the ditch. But then we also need to work together. We need the love of God to keep us motivated, keep us going forward. Mm-hmm. And this is really fascinating to me. In Isaiah 11, it talks about there's seven spirits that are on the Messiah. And I'll just read this verse here. It says, "There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him." And then it lists these seven spirits. So the first one is the Spirit of the Lord. Next, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and might. The Spirit of knowledge. And then here, and of the fear of the Lord. And now notice this. It lists these seven, and then it says there's one that he delights in. His delight is in the fear of the Lord. So it seems to highlight this one of all the seven spirits that are on the Messiah, this one that's coming forth from the rod of Jesse. This one, the fear of the Lord, is the one that he actually delights in. So it's encouraging to me to think about, because a lot of times we think of the fear of the Lord as just being this weighty thing of just, you know, we've got to have that because we don't go into sin. Mm-hmm. But Yeshua, he delighted in the fear of the Lord. It was something that he just got excited about. Yes, I love the fear of the Lord. And that's one of the reasons I believe that he lived a sinless life, because he had this delight in the fear of the Lord. He found a place in his life where he's like, yes, I love the fear of the Lord. I'm going to depart from evil mm-hmm. with this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. I also like the, I feel like over the years, the fear of the Lord was a little bit mysterious, you know, just what does that really look like? And I think in the Bible, a lot of times when it's talking about the fear of the Lord or encouraging those to grow in the fear of the Lord, it's also referencing the word of God too, right? Like I think of the kings, and I think it was saying so that the kings fear the Lord, they are to write out the laws and commandments of the Lord, right? And so just how important it is to know the word of God and to understand his heart so that we're able to walk out the fear of the Lord, you know, that we understand his heart more as we understand his word more. And so a big piece of that is hiding God's word in our heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think of the Psalms, it says, "Your word I've hidden in my heart that I would not sin against you." Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, memorizing the word, getting the word in our hearts is so mm-hmm. key.
Yeah. I feel like it demystifies it as much, you know, the fear of the Lord. It's like, well, you know the Bible, know the word of God. Mm-hmm. It's a big part of it.
Mm-hmm. So then moving on, verse 14, "May the Lord give you increase more and more, you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of men." So I want to look at this statement here where it says the earth he has given to the children of men. And just look at some verses here that re-emphasize that. Genesis 1:26, "Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps in the earth." So we see here in Genesis, God's original plan is that he's giving the earth to the children of men. He said, I want them to have dominion over all the earth. I want them to rule it. And we see similar verse here in Psalm 8:6. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. So here's a verse saying God's given the earth to the children of men. Mm-hmm. It's interesting here. Then we come to Luke 4, verse 5. It says, then the devil, this is when Yeshua is being tempted by the devil after fasting for 40 days. Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. So interesting that the devil, he's saying here, I have been given this. And so one of the thoughts is that Adam, when he sinned, he gave up part of his dominion. He gave up his dominion, and the enemy, that Satan, was able to take part of that dominion. Because Satan here says, you know, this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. And Yeshua, you know, he doesn't contradict that. Mm-hmm. You know, we also see here where Satan says, therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. So here we see the battle for worship as well. Mm-hmm. Satan is desiring of worship. He wants to be worshiped. So we're in this battle in this life for who we're going to worship. And the Psalm's talking about that. You're going to worship an idol. You're going to worship, you know, the kingdom of darkness, or you're going to worship God in the kingdom of light. And so this is a real battleground. And so I believe, you know, part of Yeshua's coming, just as a man gave up that authority that he had in the garden that God intended for him to have, Yeshua coming as a man, he was able to get the keys back to that dominion that man was meant to walk in. And we see that in the scriptures too. We see in Revelation 5:10 that this original plan of God for man to have dominion over the earth, that this earth being given to the children of men, is emphasized here. It says, and have made us a kingdom of priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. That original intention of God will happen, mm-hmm. that mankind will have rule over the earth. We will reign with our Messiah over the earth. Mm-hmm. We see this in Ephesians 1:19, such a beautiful passage here. I'm going to go on down to verse 21. It says, he is far above all principalities and power and might and dominion, in every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet. So here we see again that the dominion is given to Yeshua because he was able to get back the keys to this dominion. Mm-hmm. It says all things under his feet, and he gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body. So Yeshua being our head and us his body, then we actually operate in this, bringing God's kingdom into the earth, of reaching out to those who are oppressed by the kingdom of darkness and seeing them set free, seeing them walk in freedom. Mm-hmm. So it's a powerful thing.
Yeah, I think that in general, it seems, you know, we were placed on this earth, and it's in our human made of, you know, we're made of the earth, right? We come from dirt, and our human tendency is to think earthly, right? Like, and it's really hard for us to grasp the heavens, right? Like this, like any, like it's very high, you know, and stuff. And so it feels like, you know, that's why man's tendency is to make idols out of the earth, because we can relate to that. You know, it's like, oh, I can relate to whatever, something that's down here made of the earth, just like me, which is why, you know, the centuries setting up these idols and stuff is that felt more comfortable than some grand idea of the heavens and stuff. You know, it's so hard for our human mind to grasp, but that's what he calls us to, is to focus our mind on things of the heaven, even though we live in this earth and there's a blessing in walking on this earth. There's a battle to not, you know, I guess not succumb to the fleshly nature that we have here as we walk on the earth.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Then moving to verse 17, it says the dead do not praise the Lord, nor any who go down into silence. And so I'm thinking of this verse in light of the previous passage where it's talking about those that worship them are like them, about the idols. You know, if you worship a dead idol, then there's going to be deadness in your spirit. Mm-hmm. You're going to be, you know, it talks about they have mouths, but they do not speak. They're silent, right? Mm-hmm. And so the dead do not praise the Lord. I can see an application here to the spiritually dead. They do not praise the Lord. nor any who go down into silence. So I'm thinking of just how that contrasts in a way. And then it goes on to say, but we will bless the Lord. Like, we're not going to be caught up in that culture of death, of worshiping a dead idol, a fruitless thing. We're not going to worship a fruitless thing. We're going to worship the creator of all. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forever. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. And so I'm thinking of this verse in light of 2 Corinthians 5:8, where it says, we are confident, yes, well pleased rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. And so, like, we're going to bless the Lord forever. You know, even when we die, I think of the Sarah Grove song, to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. And from what I know of him, that must be pretty good. So she has this song that's talking about when we die, and this is what Paul's saying, when we die, it's to be present with the Lord. It's to go into his presence and to bless him. We will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. And this psalm has a really theme, a big theme of blessing. You know, it's saying, may the Lord who made heaven and earth bless you and your children. So as God blesses us, as we experience that blessing, then we reciprocate blessing to him. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot of, like, I think I see a really strong connection to our love for him as well. Once we realize how much he loves us, once we hear that voice of our beloved, then we automatically respond. We reciprocate with love for him. Mm-hmm. I just think of the scripture, while we were yet sinners, Messiah died for us. He showed us such great love before we ever even thought of loving him. Mm-hmm. And so here in this psalm, we're seeing that when he blesses us, you know, we're going to be blessed by him as we serve him. But then he's calling us to bless him back, mm-hmm. to reciprocate that blessing.
Yeah, and definitely pointing out, you know, the contrast, like you said, of the idols, like anything that we would set up in our lives that ultimately is made from the earth, dies, you know, the idols that can't speak. But then there's God, the creator. He spoke and he created the world. Like, he spoke and he blesses us, you know, and how alive we are alive because he spoke life into us. And what an awesome thing it is to engage in that, in the life-giving words of God, you know, and to be able to just partner and to, you know, to bless him out of that, out of what we've received from him. Such an awesome thing.
Yeah, I'm thinking too about how blessing God and worship is connected to actually having dominion on the earth. Because we look at David, the boundaries of Israel were some of the greatest during Solomon and David's reign. And he had such an emphasis on worship. You know, we see the tabernacle of David. So by worshiping God, by blessing God, you are participating in this act of expanding your territory, of expanding what God entrusts to you to have rule over. And so I just encourage all of you, as you go forth to live a life of blessing, may you be blessed as you bless God. And may his praise ever be on your lips. And I think of the psalmist as, bless the Lord at all times. No matter what you're going through, choose to bless God and you will be blessed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. All right, well, we're going to sign off. And this is Braden and Tally reminding you to listen to the voice of your beloved. There is freedom in his voice, and we were meant to be free.